excitedly placed her hands on the central cauldron to access the recipe, but then her face fell. The formula called for 6 ingredients, all scarce or even more rare. The dragon's cauldron showed Richter where 5 of them were on his traveler's map, but the 6th was nowhere to be found. Either there wasn't a local equivalent, or Richter hadn't explored the area where it could be found. No matter the reason, the fact was he wouldn't be making any of the poison until he could find some umbral root. His people were making strides as well. Over the next 2 weeks, the villagers were able to finish 2 more buildings and make large strides in converting the village wall to marbled quartz. According to Roswan, structures built with marbled quartz were at least 50% stronger than those built with regular stone. Richter had also enacted a plan to expand the wall once the conversion was complete. After Richter had seen the defensive benefits of having a wall of increased height, he had instructed Roswan to start building it up to 15 feet once the bottom layer was done. The taciturn elf had nodded his head and said, "My lord." He also told Richter that the defensive bonus capped at some point, but that walls could also give a bonus to dodging projectiles once they reached a certain height. An added bonus of working with Roswan every day was that the builder had started to treat him with greater respect. Just like on countless worlds through time, playing with blocks was enough to bring 2 males together. In no time at all, Richter was awarded with a prompt. "Know this, you have built a fully functional House of Scholarship, level 1. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonus of increased research, scribing, and other scholarly pursuits from having such a building." Richter appreciated the workshop even more than before, now that he could know exactly what the buildings did just by examining the village interface. House of Scholarship, level 1. Durability, 15,914 of 15,914. Building quality, well built. Building bonus, plus 12% increase in village research speed, plus 12% to upper limit of research points that researchers can add per day, plus 12% to scribing speed and success while inside of the building, plus 12% to village education, knowledge retention, conceptual understanding, etc., plus 1.2% chance to have a scientific breakthrough. With the research building done, new options opened up on Richter's village interface. A screen appeared that showed the village in the center. It looked like a real-time rendering of the town, accurate to the last detail. Around the model village were a multitude of spheres arranged 3-dimensionally to maximize the distance between them. All of the globes were a drab white except for one, which glowed slightly. More spheres were visible extending out from that one lit sphere. Each had lettering on them that Richter could easily read. Glowing lines connected all of the spheres out from the globes extending outward in all directions. The entire scene looked very much like Richter's talent page. The main difference was that while his talent interface was 2-dimensional and was set against the backdrop of a star-filled and colorful nebula, the caricature of his town and the land it was built upon seemed to sit in a bubble of gray fog. The spheres around it were easily seen, and they pushed back the thick mist. Panning out only showed more fog. Luckily, he never completely lost sight of the town, no matter how far he zoomed out. The sphere of available text glowed like a lantern through a storm. He could see faint outlines of other spheres in the fog, but couldn't make out any other details. To make it even more difficult, the globes seemed to gradually shift in and out of sight, like they were being moved by a slow-moving current. Richter looked over the tech window. As he panned out further, he finally got a feel for the scope of what he was looking at. There had to be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of spheres. He wished he could see what was hidden under the fog. If each science sphere could be researched multiple times, which seemed to be the case, it would take eons to learn all of this tech. He kept zooming out and saw only gray, but then something caught his eye. In the bottom right corner, well away from the sphere that surrounded the model of his village, there was another well-lit break in the mist. He focused his attention in this new area and saw that several spheres were revealed, but again, only one was glowing. The reason why this other patch of fog had been revealed became clear when Richter zoomed in on it. The globe read Portal Construction 3 and had several other spheres branching off of it. There was also another filament leading off into the surrounding fog, but he couldn't see what it attached to. This was the knowledge he had obtained from the Tephanim Queen. It was an actual tech. Richter's mind started flooding with possibilities. He didn't know what to research first. After a moment, Richter decided to look at the other prompts that had come up with the first one to see if they added any clarity to how to proceed. Know this. As master of this place of power and the Mist Village, you are bound to your settlement. As with all rulers, your character, abilities, and soul will affect your land and your people. Your limitless ability now applies to the texts that your settlement can research. You are not limited by race, alignment, or any other specifics in the texts which you can pursue. Purchase and procure technical manuals to jumpstart your science. Steal, bribe, and co-opt technology and knowledgeable people to increase the capabilities of your people. Be warned. Something once known can never be fully unknown. The difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limits. Well, that's awesome news, Richter thought. He wasn't sure why certain techs would be limited to certain races, but it was still good to know that his people could advance in any direction. Congratulations, you have unlocked the ability to do research. The following areas of tech are available to you. 1. Farming 1. Cost 89 research points. Successful research will increase yield from cultivated crops by 5% total. 2. Animal Husbandry 1. Cost 102 research points. Successful research will increase the health of your animals by 5%. Usable products from domesticated animals are also increased by 5%. Requires your settlement to have domesticated animals. 3. Soldiery 1. Cost 98 research points. Successful research will increase the learning curve of your soldiers by 10%. Also increases attack and defense of trained soldiers by 5%. Requires a barracks. Unavailable. 4. Construction 1. Cost 132 research points. Successful research increases building speed and building durability by 5%. Requires a workshop. This tech provides new blueprints. Mason's Shop, level 1. When built, will decrease waste and increases efficiency when quarrying stone. Increases usable yield of local quarries by 10%. Increases productivity when quarrying stone by 10%. Logging Camp, level 1. When built, will decrease waste and increase efficiency when logging. Increases usable yield of local wooded areas by 10%. Increases productivity when harvesting forests by 10%. 5. Enchantments 1. Cost 61 research points. Successful research opens the possibility of learning, altering, and creating basic enchantments. 6. Astronomy 1. Cost 52 research points. Successful research will give a basic idea of the movement of the stars, planets, and other cosmic bodies. 7. Basic Spell Theory 1. Cost 56 research points. Successful research will provide a basic understanding of the magic of the basic elements and ley lines. 8. Metallurgy 2. Cost 214 research points. Successful research will decrease the amount of metal needed to make arms and armor by 5%. Tech advanced by one level due to inherent knowledge of villager in the job smith. Requires access to smithy. The metallurgy sphere was the only one of the eight that was glowing. Apparently, the techs lit up when they had been researched. It seemed that Crom, in addition to having the practical skills of a blacksmith, also understood the science of metallurgy to a certain extent. Since the dwarf's designation as having a village job was mentioned, it seemed that assigning people to various positions had more importance than Richter had originally thought. Richter examined techs that branched off of metallurgy. 1. Alloy 1. Cost 202 research points. Experiment with new combinations of metals to increase their capabilities. Successful research will increase the likelihood of forming new alloys. This tech also increases the durability and either attack or defense of new alloys by 10%. requires access to Smithy, plus whichever metals need to be experimented with. Metals used in this research will be slowly consumed. 2. Smelter 1. Cost 254 research points. Increased heat in the smelter allows for greater malleability of worked metals. Successful research will increase production speed of forged items by 10%. 3. Smithing Tools 1. Cost 207 research points. Better tools increase the chance of a higher quality product. Successful research will increase the chance of your smiths to create arms and armor of higher qualities. All of the techs could be useful and beneficial to Crom. Best not to tell the dwarf about these research options, Richter thought with a smile. His smith wouldn't stop hounding him, especially for the smithing tools one tech. The Chaos Seed wasn't rejecting the idea of pursuing this research branch, but he wanted to explore his options before he committed. Richter examined the portal tech and the research that branched off of it. 1. Portals 4. Cost 2,302,583 research points. At level 3, you are able to build a portal that can be linked to the same number of portals as ley lines in the immediate vicinity. The receiving portals must be built upon ley lines that mirror those which the home portal is built upon. Successful research of Portals 4 allows receiving portals to be built upon any type of ley line. 2. Local Portals 1. Cost 67,956 research points. This tech unlocks the blueprint for local portals. Local portals are linked to a home portal and only allow travel between these two points. This ignores the limitation of portals being built a minimum of 50 miles apart. Local portals do not count against the maximum number of portals that can be linked to your home portal. At level 1 of this tech, A. Local portals can be built within a 10-mile radius of the home portal. B. One local portal can be created per ley line present. C. A traveler can enter the home portal and arrive at the local platform. Travel is not possible from the local portal back to the home portal. 3. Pedestal Activation 1. Cost 32,743 research points. The process of placing and removing an activation key to control the workings of a portal can be laborious and time-consuming. The creation of a pedestal key will greatly streamline this process. The creator of the pedestal can assign varying access rights to individuals or allow unrestricted access. 4. Microportal 1. Cost 58,311 research points. Learning this tech unlocks the blueprint for microportals. Microportals are devices that will give instant transport back to the home portal the device is linked with. At level 1 of this tech, A. The maximum distance this device can be used is 500 miles. B. You must be in close proximity to a ley line of the same type that the portal is built upon. C. Individuals and objects within 5 feet of the microportal user can be transported as well. Richter's eyes bulged slightly as he read about each tech that was available to him through his knowledge of the portals. Building a portal has always been high on his agenda, but now it was skyrocketing. He had actually started to lay the groundwork for building one, but there were factors that were stopping him. Prompts had appeared that told that building a portal required a level of technical expertise. Both a construction skill of 47 and a crafting skill of 11 were required. The prompt had indicated that he could work under a builder of the appropriate skill, so Roswan could handle the construction half of the requirement. Richter himself would have to assemble the various items that formed the portal, though. Because of this, he had been devoting at least an hour each night to working with Glorin and learning the skill crafting. The elf only knew how to construct a few rings and bracelets, and sadly, was too low in both the crafting and enchanting skills to teach Richter how to make magic items. But still, Richter had learned to make simple rings. He had started carrying coils of high steel wire around with him to make braided rings and bracelets in his spare time. It was monotonous, but it had allowed him to slowly increase his crafting skill. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in crafting. Plus 3% enchantment potential, plus 3% success in combining components. Even if he had the requisite skills, Richter wasn't sure that he could afford to make a portal yet. From talking with Randolphus about the materials, it was going to cost him roughly 4,000 gold to build a single portal. If the Chamberlain's records were correct, which they always were, he had about 4,400 gold in hard coins. The Chamberlain said that the jewels he possessed should be worth another 20,000 to 30,000 gold, and the Tephanim jewelry would hopefully sell for another several thousand gold, but Randolphus stressed the word should. The last easily tradable good Richter had were the cobalt coins. The common ones were worth another 5,000 or so, and there were also dozens of Dark Khan coins that Randolphus said should sell from anywhere between 100 and 1,000 gold each. The problem was that the village was in a forest, weeks away from civilization. If they had to rely on a bus, Randolphus warned that they would take heavy losses both in buying and selling. The best idea would be to make a trading expedition personally, but they would need Shiavanna's ship to do that. The elvish woman said it was still weeks away from completion. The conclusion was simple. If Richter wanted to build the portal, they would have to leave the safety of the forest. With the threat of the bugbears, goblins, and worsening monster attacks, this was not a decision to be made lightly. After the conversation, Richter shook his head, frustrated. Barely a month before, he had delighted in the fact that he was rich, and by the standards of Earth or the land, he had been right. Now that he was looking at his wealth through the lens of needing to build up his settlement, though, and not simply one man's finances, the truth was that he didn't have that much. One thing became abundantly clear. He needed to work on his village's economy. Richter looked regretfully at the advanced portal techs a final time and realized that between the high research costs and the practical difficulties of even building a portal, he couldn't justify researching them yet. He closed that prompt and read the last waiting notification. Know this. As master of a place of power, you are granted one base research point per day for each magic that comprises your node of ley lines. Richter closed the prompt. The math was pretty easy. It meant that at baseline, his village would earn 4 research points a day. The question was, how many research points had he earned by this point? Richter opened the town interface and quickly found the science tab. Available research points, RP. 436. Daily earned research, 4.48 RP per day. 1. 1 point per ley lines, 4 total. 2. 0.1 points per level of research skill, 0.00. Normal research restrictions apply. Research rate modifiers, +12% rate for House of Scholarship, level 1. Richter examined the information in the prompt. He was happy that he had been earning research points, or RP, since he had claimed the village, though it was a bit of a shock that he had been the master of his place of power for more than 100 days. The time had flown by. He got lost in reviewing everything that had happened to him for a moment, but then focused back on the task at hand. With 436 RPs, he should be able to power through at least 1 or 2 of the low-level techs. How he would ever earn enough to research one of the portal techs, he had no idea. But at least this was a start. Richter didn't understand how the research skill came into play. He also didn't want to start researching something when, if he made another choice, an even better tech might be revealed down the line. Fortunately, both of the scholars had immediately entered their new building. He walked over to where they were already arguing good-naturedly about who got the good room. "Bartle, B, I need a moment," Richter said.
"My lord?" B asked.
"Of course, Lord Richter," Bartle said promptly.
"I'm trying to choose the first tech for the village to research now that we have this new building. Most of the tech tree that I can see is grayed out, though. I thought you two could tell me what is available after I research these initial techs." Richter ran through the sciences that were available for research. Bartle didn't interrupt, but when Richter stopped his recitation, the scholar shook his head.
"I'm afraid we will not be able to be of much help, my lord. The question of what lies in the fog of knowledge has plagued wise men and kings for millennia."
Richter could hear the special emphasis Bartle placed on fog of knowledge. B was nodding his head and spoke up as well.
"Yes, Lord Richter. The problem is that the tech tree changes for each settlement and race that is pursuing research."
The Chaos Seed furrowed his brow and sighed. Everything just had to be difficult.
He motioned for the scholars to continue.
Neither I nor B are experts in the field of research, despite being scholars, Bartle started. We both focused on the scribing arts, though I do have a skill level of 23 in research. B has
a skill level of 17,
the other scholar supplied. Bartle picked up where he had left off.
The reason no one can know what is hidden in the fog of knowledge is that it varies based on multiple factors. The location of your village, the presence of ley lines, the buildings which have been constructed, the resources in the general area, and many other considerations affect what technologies can be discovered. Sometimes even the time of year that research is being done will change what techs are available. Many branches of research can only be studied by a specific race. For instance, I have heard of a tech called ambient particles that can only be learned by star elves. It opens a path of unique magic for their people.
Okay, I think I follow you, Richter said, though it still didn't make sense to him why one type of person could research something that another group could not. That was the entire point of science. It was immutable and indiscriminate. Of course, that was based upon his view of Earth science. The same science that would say waving his hand and speaking an incantation shouldn't make fire shoot from his fingers, but Richter had definitely been lighting bitches up. Ultimately, he decided not to pull too hard on the logic thread. Scientists back home couldn't even explain how a bumblebee could fly. Besides, he now thought that he understood about how his limitless ability was coming into play with the village's research. His people had the chance to learn texts that had previously only been available to specific races. It might give his village a real edge in the future. There was one more question he needed to ask. I still don't understand how the research skill translates into research points.
That is actually easy to explain, B answered. Anyone with the research skill can contribute to the research points for a settlement. Each skill level equals 1/10 of a research point.
Richter nodded. It seemed straightforward enough.
It didn't explain the asterisk, though, that had spoken about restrictions.
Is there anything else to it?
As with all things, my lord, B answered. There are many factors that can affect the final amount of research generated, but there is one other thing that I believe you should know now. The rank of a researcher determines how much total research can be generated in a given span. Novices, for instance, no matter how many are working on a given tech, can only generate 10 research points per day in a level 1 settlement like this. You cannot decipher the secrets of the universe with 1 billion level 1 researchers. Certain buildings or techs can alter that limit somewhat, but a good rule of thumb is that each rank has an upper limit that is 10 times as large as the rank below it. Both Bartle and I are initiates in the research skill, so our maximum contribution would be 100 RPs per day, though we are obviously well shy of that goal. It advances from there until you reach the rank of master. With enough master researchers, you could theoretically generate 1 million research points each day towards a specific tech. As far as I know, however, there are no master researchers on the entire River Peninsula.
The other point I would add, Bartle said, is that the RPs generated by researchers are only a potential daily yield. Having someone who has the research skill but is spending their days as a guardsman will not aid in discovering new techs. It takes several hours of work each day for a person to generate their maximal research points, and that amount of time varies depending on the many factors, such as the researcher's familiarity with a given topic of study.
His lips twisted in mild distaste. That is why both B and I focused on scribing instead. B nodded vigorously. The fact that neither scholar liked doing research was obvious. Richter heaved a big sigh when he saw that.
So, here's what I'm going to need you to do.
The scholars listened to him attentively, but as he spoke, both their faces and their spirits fell.
Chapter 42, Day 127, Caborn 17, 15,368, EBG. There was a great deal of wailing and gnashing of teeth, but ultimately the scribes bent to Richter's will. They both agreed to make research their primary responsibility each day. A quick check of the tech window showed that the number of daily research points had increased. Total research points, RP, 436. Daily earned research, 8.96 RP per day. 1. 1 point per ley lines, 4 total. 2. 0.1 points per level of research skill. 4.0. Normal research restrictions apply. Research modifiers. +12% for House of Scholarship. Randolphus was present, helping to coordinate the last-minute needs of the scholars. After a quick check of the knowledge tablet, the Chamberlain said that there were 12 other villagers, most of them arcane gnomes, that were listed as having the research skill. Richter grimaced at hearing how few of his people could advance the village's pursuit of technology. Randolphus told him that the small number was not surprising. He further explained that it would be rare for anyone to even be tested for the skill, so more villagers might have it and simply did not know. As soon as Richter heard that, he made a proclamation. Every villager, including the children, was to be tested for an affinity in research. Randolphus then asked a question that gave him pause, though. Should people be forced into research if they want to do a different job, my lord? Richter waffled on that for a moment, but only for a moment. He wouldn't be running a forced labor camp, but he also wasn't offering a free lunch. Anyone already pursuing a specific position can remain in it, but make it clear that incentives will be offered if they would like to switch. Any of the dozens of unskilled villagers that are getting a wage, though, will be assigned under the scholars. He didn't think it would be a hard sell, seeing as how the unskilled villagers were normally used for the dirtiest and smelliest duties. Richter gave the scholars one more responsibility, the education of the village's children. Every child from the age of 6 to the age of maturity, 14, would attend classes for 3 hours every morning until the noonday meal. Any adults that were not otherwise occupied were also welcome to attend the classes, regardless of age. Richter said he would leave the specific topics to be covered in the hands of the scribes. He also said that they were welcome to have other villagers lead the classes as guest lecturers. The scholars were given permission to say that Richter strongly recommended that other villagers cooperate. Surprisingly, both Bee and Bartle seemed intrigued by this latest duty, though they were still not happy about having to do research every day. Before he left, Richter decided to sweeten the pot. He took a folded piece of paper out of his bag of holding. They watched him while he slowly unfolded it, and then their eyes widened when they saw that it was a copy of the rubbing he had gotten from the runes near the dark magic portal. Both scholars immediately forgot about their reservations and started poring over the 2 sheets of paper. They both knew that they would have to advance in various texts before they could formally research runes, but having a tangible reminder of the knowledge that could one day be at their fingertips lit a fire in them. Richter left the 2 men with a smug smile, feeling confident that they would do what was needed to drive research in the village. All that remained was to decide what branch of research to pursue. For Richter, it was pretty much a no-brainer. He chose to play to the village's strengths, namely his core buildings and his own ability to enchant. The Chaos Seed made his choice. A bright light appeared in the sky, and a white beam descended onto the House of Scholarship. Know this. Anyone relevant who belongs to your settlement will now be able to access this information. Congratulations, you have researched Smithing Tools 1. Smiths in your settlement will now have an increased chance to make higher quality weapons and armor. You have 229 free research points available. You have unlocked new research, Smithing Tools 2, cost 396 research points. Refine the tools used to create the weapons of your people. Successful research will increase the chance of your smiths to create arms and armor of higher qualities. 2 more texts were revealed branching off of Smithing Tools 2, and the fog rolled back. Keen Edge 1. Cost, 362 research points. Edged weapons created by your smith will have 5% better armor penetration. Improved Balance 1. Cost, 426 research points. Your smiths will learn to make weapons with better balance. Attack speed on anyone using these weapons will be improved by 5%. More filaments stemmed from these 2 spheres, and the smithing tools globe lit up. Part of Richter wanted to stop there, but he decided to take a chance on a tech that might show great dividends. Congratulations, you have researched Astronomy 1. Your people now have a rudimentary understanding of the movement of the stars, planets, and other cosmic bodies. You now have 177 free research points available. You have unlocked new research. Astronomy 2. Cost, 105 research points. Successful research will give your people a basic idea of how to predict the movement of the stars, planets, and other cosmic bodies. You have completed a quest. My God, it's full of stars. 1. You have obtained a rudimentary understanding of planetary bodies. As this was a villager-supplied quest, your administration skill increases. Reward, 625 experience points. Reward, plus 5 village-wide loyalty. Additional plus 5 loyalty from Crom. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 9 in administration. Plus 1% to morale, loyalty, and production for your village. Richter had hoped that the tech would resolve the quest. He looked at the prompt and saw that 2 more spheres were revealed as the fog of knowledge was pushed back. The first didn't interest him too much, but the next one made Richter want to do a happy dance. The scholars stared at him because he decided to take a minute and actually dance. Astrology 1. Cost, 117 research points. Obtaining this tech will give a rudimentary understanding of how the movements of the cosmos can predict events in the land. Forge of Heavens. Cost, 138 research points. This technology will unlock a branch of research that is specific to your core building, the Forge of Heavens. Unique. Congratulations. Through your pursuit of knowledge, you have discovered a unique tech. Dedication to this line of research will give benefits that are exclusive to your settlement. Richter couldn't buy the second tech fast enough. You now have 39 free research points available. You have unlocked new research. Learn Enchantments 1, Forge of Heavens. Cost, 294 research points. This tech will increase the chance of the Forge learning new enchantments by 5%. Predict Auspicious Times 1, Forge of Heavens. Cost, 320 research points. The tech will provide knowledge of specific dates and times to forge weapons and armor to obtain extra effects. Elementum Bonus to Spell Barriers 1, Forge of Heavens. Cost, 438 research points. This tech will increase the spell barrier penetration of Forge of Heavens weapons by 20%. Elementum Bonus to Spell Resistance 1, Forge of Heavens. Cost, 437 research points. This tech will increase the spell resistance given to each piece of armor by 20%. More filaments branched off all of the new research spheres. It was a bit frustrating to not be able to afford any of these new techs, but it was also exciting to see the new possibilities. He chose Predict Auspicious Times 1, and a prompt appeared. You have 39 free research points available. Once they are assigned to a specific tech, they cannot be redistributed. Do you wish to assign these points to Predict Auspicious Times 1, Forge of Heavens? Yes or no? Richter reaffirmed his choice. The Mist Village has begun research on Predict Auspicious Times 1, Forge of Heavens. Progression, 39 of 320 RPs. Predicted time to completion, 31 days, 8 hours, 38 minutes, and 24 seconds. Know this. Any future research must be invested directly into a specific tech. Further free research points may be earned in various ways. Now he was cooking! Richter did a fist pump. Then, in response to the scholar's confused looks, he described what a fist pump was. One thing was now clear to the Chaos Seed. Research had to be a priority. A smile crossed his face as a cherished childhood memory rose in his mind. Knowledge is power! Chapter 43, Day 133, Kuborn 23, 15,368, EBG. The healer's hut was built only a few days after the House of Scholarship. Roswan had been right that building with wood was much faster than building with stone. Despite the building's hut rank, it was still helpful. Know this, you have built a fully functional healer's hut. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonus of increased village health and other healing bonuses from having such a building. Healer's Hut. Durability, 1,060 of 1,060. Building quality, well built. Building bonus, plus 6% village health, plus 6% disease prevention, plus 6% recuperation speed after injury. You have completed a quest, House of Healing 1. You have provided a healer's hut for your people and for Sumiko. The Life Master's request has been for the good of the village, and definitely for your good. The fail condition for this quest was haranguing on a daily basis from the healer. Though you would not admit it, you are happy to avoid her sharp tongue and bony poking fingers. Reward, 1,250 experience. Reward, village-wide loyalty, plus 5, plus 10 for healers. Reward, plus 100 relationship points with village healers. The healer's hut and the House of Scholarship weren't the only change to the village infrastructure. Roswan started moonlighting on his own recognizance. As the village builder, he had access to the workshop's interface and had apparently taken the poorly made quality of the ship cradle as an affront. On the same night that the workshop had been finished, he rounded up several of the villagers who had the construction skill, along with more than 100 mist workers. Shyvana had apparently been sleeping on the half-finished boat when some of the mist workers lifted it up and carried it to the side while the rest demolished the wooden cradle. A few of the guards had heard her screaming in rage and had run forward to help, but stopped once they saw the comedic scene of the short elf maid shouting down at Roswan and the other builders. The mustached elf had just ignored her and went about constructing a well-built ship's cradle to replace the bundle of sticks assembled by a blind shit-eater, as Roswan called the original ship berth. Shyvana had let go of her initial irritation and had become ecstatic when she saw the quality of the building that was being made for her. That goodwill apparently disappeared again after Roswan had commented so harshly on her earlier efforts. Richter decided to stay out of all of it and was just happy with the results. Ship cradle. Wooden. Durability. 1,039 of 1,039. Building quality. Well built. Building bonus. Plus 6% shipbuilding speed bonus. 0.6% bonus to ship stats. It wasn't a level 1 building, so the bonus was meager, but it was still an improvement. When Tirad heard about Roswan's willingness to take on smaller projects, the captain asked for a favor. After the ship cradle had been completed, Roswan started a new pet project, creating simple wooden towers that were 20 feet high. They each stood on 4 legs that were buried at least a yard into the ground and had a small platform. 4 reinforced wooden walls topped the platform, and a simple roof sat atop it. The towers greatly increased the line of sight of anyone in the crow's nest, and it also gave a shield location for archers to fire down on enemies. With the abundance of raw materials, Roswan was able to create 1 or 2 per night. Richter was more than pleased. The village was operating with a well-oiled efficiency, and his own skill progression advanced daily. Nothing really disrupted the flow of events until one overcast morning. He was eating a handful of berries when a mass of pixies flew towards him, sounding extremely agitated and speaking all at once. The high-pitched sounds hurt his ears, and it took Alora to calm them down.
They all say that their metamedons are close.
All of them?
Richter asked, surprised. Usually, the sprites only approached in groups of 2 to 3. Alora nodded.
They also agreed that they are approaching from the south.
Richter turned his head to look in that direction, despite knowing that he wouldn't be able to see anything. After a moment, he grinned. He had a feeling that he knew what was going on. He walked over to give an order to Randolphus. Tirad and Sion had been eating with him when the pixies arrived and had heard everything he had. With a nod of his head, the two moved off. Tirad to gather the guards and Sion to gather the Maedon sprites. His companion had become the impromptu leader of the bonded sprites, which Richter thought of as a good thing. One thing that had become obvious since more forest sprites had emerged from their Maedons was that there was a bit of friction between the forest and the wood sprites. Both Sumiko and the other sprite guard Hisako had left behind had been seen arguing with their more woodsy cousins. From what Richter could gather, the wood sprites thought the forest sprites were uncultured and uncivilized, and the forest sprites called the wood sprites Hialothea. It loosely translated to city boy, but they said it with a dismissive twang that back on Earth only someone who had gone cow-tipping could pull off. Sion was able to bridge the gap, being a forest sprite, a Metu Maedon, and the son of the Hearth Mother.
Needless to say, Richter was glad his companion was there to smooth ruffled feathers. HR had never been his strong suit. 10 minutes after Alora spoke to Richter, a war party was formed and waiting at the gate. Richter had a strong hunch on what they were about to find, so he handed out potions of clarity to all the members of the war party. After that, they headed out of the gate. Richter took only one of the pixie children with him as a guide. That had caused the expected tantrum in the other 50 or so pixie children, but the fact that so many sprites were coming at once meant they were probably in a group, so only one pixie was needed to find them. Richter didn't want to risk having dozens of the flying children in the wild at once. The small celestials weren't without power, but all it would take would be a swooping hawk to end one of their lives. The war party had to travel the entire way to the edge of the mists before they found the sprites. Richter crossed out of the hazy enchantment and walked to the top of a hill. What he saw brought a broad smile to his face. Just as he had thought and hoped, Richter saw Hisako's war band. Approaching from less than a mile away, there was a host of sprite warriors, at least 300 strong. Several sprites at the front rode what looked like abnormally muscled stags. At their head was Hisako and Yoshi. "Greetings, Hearth Mother!" Richter shouted, waving. Hisako smiled back and rode closer.
"Greetings, Lord Richter."
He walked down to meet her. When he got close, the deer she was riding grew unsettled, but she calmed it with a touch. His analyze skill identified it as a strike stag. The Hearth Mother reached out a hand, and he gently took it and kissed the back. Her smile broadened.
"I ask permission to bring my warriors into your domain."
Richter raised his voice so that everyone could hear him.
"The people of the Hearth Tree are always welcome in the Mist Village."
Scattered cheers met his pronouncement. The sprite warriors stood erect, but they had clearly had a hard time. More than one wore severely battered armor.
"I invite you all to join us for respite and relaxation."
He turned to Hisako.
"I will give your fighters immunity to the mists, but while I do, I would like to introduce you to someone."
Sion walked up behind Richter and smiled at his mother. She looked at his face, and her mouth dropped open in shock.
"Sion! Is it you? Were the legends really true?"
Richter's companion helped his mother down off of her steed. She reached up to touch his face in wonder before embracing him. Richter smiled and started selecting each of the sprites to give them immunity to the village's protective enchantment. Soon, all 300 moved back towards the village. For once, Richter had almost no fear moving through the forest. Animals and monsters made way in front of the large force. The one exception was an attack by an undead creature called a barrel beast. It lunged up from a fold in the ground as the host approached. On reflex, Richter used Analyze.
Name, barrel beast. Disposition, enmity. Barrel beasts are zombies created from the bodies of predators. They are often formed by simply being in the presence of other undead, or are created accidentally by exposure to ambient death magic. Level 4. Health, 140. Mana, 20. Stamina, 140. Strength, 9. Agility, 7. Dexterity, 9. Constitution, 14. Endurance, 14. Intelligence, 2. Wisdom, 3. Charisma, 1. Luck, 10.
Richter barely had time to read the prompt before the creature was destroyed. There was a reason the other monsters were smart to avoid the armed party. 5 imbued arrows impacted against the barrel monster as soon as it appeared and destroyed it utterly. All that was left were gobbets of decaying flesh and a filthy ribcage. The pace of the group didn't even slow. Despite the very minor threat of the attack, Richter was bothered by the presence of the undead creature. Hisako met his eyes, and he could see that she was discomforted as well.
"Have you seen more of these foul creatures?"
she asked him. "As you warned, monsters and dangerous beasts are becoming more common around the village. Over the past 2 weeks, though, there have been several sightings of undead creatures. I have had to deal with several of the spirits myself, as conventional weapons don't seem to work. But outside of an initial encounter, there haven't been any major threats."
"Have the undead been appearing during the day like this?"
she queried further. "Most of the encounters are at night, but a few have been during the day," he answered. Hisako's face adopted a grave expression.
"We will need to discuss this further. Seeing a creature like this during the day may bode ill for the future. It is possible there is a further threat we are not aware of.
Richter immediately thought of the death portal and the eldritch magician. Part of him didn't want to believe that there was now yet another danger to deal with, but the timing was too coincidental. Still, he hoped he was wrong. Maybe we just startled it awake from where it had been hiding during the day. Hisako nodded slowly, but from her expression, she remained doubtful. Then she looked at Sion, though, and an expression of love and affection crossed her face. She let the matter drop for the moment. The rest of the trip was uneventful, and soon they crossed into the village. It had been several hours since they had left, and night had fallen. Thankfully, the order Richter had given to Randolphus had been carried out. Suspecting that they would have a great deal of company, the Chaos Seed had ordered a feast to be prepared. More impromptu tables were set up, and they had been laden with meats, fruits, and nuts from the village stores. Many of the sprites started grinning at seeing the banquet that had been prepared, but a good many still strode inexorably towards the hill leading to the northern meadow. Richter knew he could not stop the Metumedon from going to find their pixie counterparts. He also thought he knew an even better way to revitalize the sprites than food and drink. "My sprite allies," Richter said, raising his voice, "you are welcome to all of the hospitality the Mist Village has to offer. Before breaking your fast, however, please come with me. I promise you will not be disappointed." He started walking, and all of the sprites filed after him. Richter heard some of the fighters complaining in sprite speak, mostly centering around what kind of dick would show hungry men food and then not let them eat. The Chaos Seed just smirked and kept walking. He knew the naysayers would be quiet soon enough. They reached the top of the hill, and many of the sprites got their first view of the quickening. Just as Richter had predicted, they all forgot their grumblings, and many started to run forward until they remembered themselves and stayed behind the Hearthmother. Yoshi and Hisako kept their decorum and remained with Richter. The statuesque sprite didn't look back at her riled-up troops, but from the wry twist of her mouth, Richter wouldn't have been surprised if she was taking a perverse pleasure in having her fighters chomping at the bit. As they approached the quickening, something magical happened. Dozens of pixies flew out from the white leaves of the celestial tree. Their colorful wings stood in stark contrast to the cream-colored canopy, and in front of all of her children flew the queen herself. Beneath the flurry of pixies stood the other 15 Maidon sprites that had emerged from the silver shell so far, those changed by the quickening under the wondrous tree, a small promise of a wondrous future to come. The sprites with Hisako all went down on one knee as they observed what, until very recently, would only have been considered an impossible miracle. Pixies had returned to the land, and not only that, they had become celestial. A quickening existed on their plane, and most important, Metumedon were in the world again. Alma flew down to rest on Richter's shoulders as the sprites looked on in wonder. It was Alora who broke the spell. She flew down to hover in front of Hisako. The Hearthmother looked at the Pixie Queen and said, "You have changed much since last we spoke. Our bows and magic are yours, my queen." Then the sprite leader bowed deeply. Alora curtsied in midair and said,
"The love of the sprites is a treasure beyond measure. Please come and hear our song."
And with that, the Hearthmother and the Pixie Queen crossed under the white boughs of the quickening to hear a song of rebirth and wonder. Chapter 44, Day 139, Kuborn 29, 15,368 EBG. Another 53 sprites formed connections, leaving Alora and six other sprites the only ones who had not formed the bond. When Richter asked her about it, she said that if her Metumedon had been born, then they would find each other in due time. Then she looked up at the silvered undersides of the quickening's leaves and smiled in contentment. Once the last Maidon was created, a prompt appeared. "Congratulations, you have completed a quest, Fate's Companion. Greater than 90% of the 101 celestial pixies have bonded to the sprites that carried the other half of their destiny. The forces of good in the land rejoice. As you have seen, your role in bringing this wonder back to the land has paid dividends.
You are the master of this place of power, the planter of the quickening, and the companion of the Pixie Queen. The fate of the celestial pixies is intertwined with your own. You will be rewarded with the experience promised, but you are further gifted with the true reward of your chosen path. Stay true to yourself to continue the benefits. True reward. Fealty of the Maidon Sprites. Reward 17,156 experience. Know this. You have received 3,625 experience from your companion Sion being a support member of the party that brought 58 Maitumaidon to their pixie counterparts. You have received 3,625 experience from your companion Tarad being a support member for the party that brought 58 Maitumaidon to their pixie counterparts. Richter smiled broadly. He hadn't really understood why the changed sprites had bent the knee when they emerged from the silver shells. It was now clear that they were driven to it by the magic of the Maidon. For a moment, the Chaos Seed wondered if this was wrong somehow. Were the sprites and pixies being brainwashed into serving him? He didn't let such a potentially malicious thought take root, though. Hisako and the other sprites believed that the pixies led them to their destinies. Who was he to question that? Richter looked around at the rest of the war party who had all received the 7,256 XP. Checking with Analyze, he found that every single member of the war party was at least over level 10 now. His people were high-fiving and laughing as they celebrated their rapid ascent. Richter received more than one prompt with a relationship increase as he dissolved the war party and told his people to celebrate. The villagers weren't the only ones in great spirits. All of the sprites received the bonuses from the Song of Joy and Remembrance. Richter was pleased, if not surprised, that the bonus raised his personal relationship with every sprite by one or two levels. The Chaos Seed still didn't fully understand the importance of relationships, but it seemed to be a good thing to increase either way, so he wasn't complaining. Thinking about the importance of relationships made him broach a potentially sensitive topic with Hisako, namely the Maidon sprites swearing fealty to him. The Hearth Mother being upset was the one potential downside that he had foreseen stemming from the true reward from his quest. He had to interrupt a joyous reunion between both her and Sumiko, but the two sprite women took it in stride and, thankfully, she waved his concerns away. Then, to his surprise, she embraced him.
"We all serve the forest," she said. "If my people feel the best way to do this is to swear fealty to you, then that is for the best. You should know, Lord Richter, that I would forgive you any slight, however. You have begun to heal my people."
Richter was relieved at hearing the Hearth Mother had such a magnanimous attitude, but was confused by the healing she was referring to. When he asked, she looked at him consideringly for a moment, but then spoke.
"I would not tell you this except that I view you as an ally, Lord Richter. I ask that you keep what I'm about to tell you in the strictest confidence, for it is a secret of the Sprite people."
Richter assured her that he would, and she continued.
"You may or may not have noticed, but wood sprites and forest sprites do not exactly get along. This was not always the case. Once we were one people. We were neither Soret Mota nor Soret Sir. We were simply Soret Shin."
Richter's gift of tongues ability easily translated the sprite speak into wood sprites, forest sprites, and the last phrase as true sprites. He nodded again and asked,
"So you split into two peoples?"
Hisako shook her head sadly.
"I wish that was the end of the tale. The Soret Shin have broken into more races than even I can say. Wave sprites, dune sprites, swamp sprites."
She sighed unhappily.
"I do not believe there is anyone in the land that truly knows how many races into which we have fractured. With the loss of the pixies so long ago, sprites across the land were bereft. Where once only harmony existed, small disagreements between sprite enclaves grew into petty rivalries. These divisions worsened until we split into different groups with different ideologies. Over the millennia, we have become different races. Each of us are less than what we could be together."
There was a tone of loss and regret in her voice, but then she smiled. She embraced him again and said,
"This is the first step in bringing the various sprite peoples into harmony again, and it is because of you."
A prompt filled Richter's vision. You have been made aware of and completed a secret quest, Unity of the Soret Shin 1. Your strong bond with Hisako,
the leader of the Wood Sprites of the Hearth Tree, has convinced her to share a secret knowledge with you. The loss of pixies in the land was a tragedy for all forces of good, but especially for the sprites. Without the race that helped guide their destiny, the sprites had fractured into disparate peoples. By bringing pixies back to the land, you have completed the first step in bringing back the Soreth Shin. Reward, a boon from Hisako. Reward, +10 skill levels to imbue arrow. Know this. A dramatic increase in your sub-skill, Imbue Arrow, has caused an increase in the main skill, +6 skill levels to archery. Reward, 31,250 experience. Reward, +1,000 relationship points with all sprite races that have been linked with their Metumedon. Current bonus in relationship applies to wood sprites and forest sprites. You have unlocked a secret quest, Unity of the Soreth Shin 2. Continue to unite Pixie and Sprite Metumedon to help bring about the reemergence of the Soreth Shin. Help 5 different races of sprites create Medons to fulfill this quest. Current count, 2 of 5. Reward, unknown. Fail conditions, sharing this information with anyone other than a sprite. Yes or no? Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 8 through 17 in Imbue Arrow, +85% magical damage, +85% speed of mana flow. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 12 through 17 in archery, +34% bonus to aim, +34% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have advanced from novice to initiate in Imbue Arrow. Energy transfer 20% more stable, allowing for more energy to be imbued before improper arrow detonation. This is cumulative with successive ranks. You have received 625 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the subskill Imbue Arrow. Richter hugged Hisako back even harder and accepted the quest. The sprite leader squawked slightly, but she soon chuckled, appreciating the bear hug in the joyous manner with which it was given. It looked like his good relationship with the wood sprites was continuing to pay dividends. Without such a strong connection, Hisako probably would never have shared this part of the sprite's secret history, which had led to him finding a secret quest. It was kind of like helping an old lady across the street and poof, she turns into a sexy genie. And she likes Firefly! He shook his head as he kept reading the prompts. Not only did the quest give a very respectable chunk of experience, but it also increased his relationship with all forest and wood sprites. 1,000 relationship points was nothing to sneeze at. Richter and Hisako had the relationship rank of ally, which meant they already had at least 25,000 relationship points, so it didn't alter their interplay too much. The 1,000 was enough to push his relationship with any new wood or forest sprites from neutral to interested, though, 3 full ranks up. The boost in Imbue Arrow was amazing, too. At skill level 1, every 10 mana Richter had invested in a strike increased the final damage by 1, and he was able to store 10 mana in the arrow every second. Now that he was level 17, it meant that every 10 mana increased the damage by almost 2 points, and he could transfer 18.5 mana per second. On top of that, he could put more mana into his arrows without risking them blowing up in his face. The real prize, though, as far as he was concerned, was the boon. Richter let go of Hisako and was preparing to ask about it, but she beat him to the punch.
If there is anything that I can do for you or your people, you only need to ask.
Richter put a thoughtful expression on his face. I actually have something in mind. She motioned for him to walk with her. The two of them conversed as they moved back through the village. Yoshi walked behind them, not comfortable leaving Hisako unguarded and in the open, even behind the village's walls. He outlined exactly what he wanted and how it could benefit them both. At the end of his pitch, she told him that the resources of her people were not unlimited, but that if he handled his side of the proposal, then she would handle hers. She laughed a bit at seeing the relief on his face, but then her face firmed. The leader of the sprites started to fill him in on what had been happening in the war.
We have had several battles with the bugbears, she reported in a serious voice. We have had losses, but we have held the line. They dare not push too far into our territory because of our ability to hide in the forest and then strike quickly. More than one of their patrols has not returned because of sneak attacks with our imbued arrows. Still, their own abilities with concealment are not inconsiderable. My people are excellent at ranged combat, but have difficulty if they are drawn